So the last lecture on Lie group and Lie algebras. And today what we're going to try to do is to classify semi-simple and we see we're going to focus only on a specific case. So first, what is semi-simple Lie algebra? Semi-simple Lie algebra is a Lie algebra which can be decomposed as the direct sum of what we call simple algebra. And a simple algebra is an algebra which does not have any non-trivial ideal. So an ideal is invariant subalgebra. Okay. So, but you don't, this terminology here is not so important right now for what I'm going to do. It's just to let you know that indeed we are not considering all kinds of Lie algebras here, but we're specifically, this is going to work for any semi-simple Lie algebra. And even we are going to reduce our work here. So, what is the idea? Here, the idea is really to use what we have done again for SU2. And we want to build commutation relation. So we are going to consider G as semi-simple Lie algebra. So another definition of semi-simple Lie algebra, this means that it does not have any abelian ideal. And we want to, what we want to do is to build commutation relation very similar to the one we had for SU2. So I'm just going to rewrite them because we are going to refer to that quite often using, and here I'm talking about the relation commutation relation using the raising and lowering operator. Okay, and we're going to I think I used 3 last time. Okay, so what now, and we will see that in fact we are going to focus on what we call algebra with of rank 2, but I'm going to give you right now what this means before. So what is our recipe here? So the step 1, again, is exactly the same thing that we did when we build all irreducible representations for SU2, is to find the maximal set of commuting generators, okay? So this is the first step. Commuting. And this is what is going to define the Cartan subalgebra. And I'm going to denote it H. So do you remember for SU2 what was just our Cartan subalgebra?
G3.
Yeah, we had chosen just, we could only take one generator to form this Cartan subalgebra. And we have chosen J3. So this mean, and we said that SU2 was a Lie algebra of rank 1. So what does it mean? What is the rank? The rank is really the dimension of this Cartan subalgebra. Okay, so SU2 was, and here's the rank of your Lie algebra, is the dimension of H here. And so for SU2, the rank of SU2 indeed was 1. That's why we, at some point, we use this, maybe in the lecture note, I introduced this notation, A1, to say that it was of rank 1. And so today, we're going to focus on, well, everything we are going to do from step 1 and step 2 are going to be valid for any Lie algebra. You just then, at the end, the last step is to find, to use some geometrical intuition to classify the Lie algebra, but here we need then to specify what is the rank, okay? And so in this lecture, we'll work with the rank 2, okay? What else? And in the tutorial this afternoon, you will study SU3, okay? The Lie algebra SU3, and SU3 is also a rank 2 Lie algebra. And here, just here, so I can write a basis for this Cartan subalgebra. So let's say that this big H R. So R here is the rank, it's in the dimension. And so what does it mean here? This means that for any ij, you have that the commutation relation is 0, since it's defined the Cartan subalgebra. And here we are going to choose that HR are Hermitian. Okay, we can choose that. So, okay, so then what is the second step? If you remember also from what we did for SU2, now is to find the set of eigenvector that we're going to call E with here alpha of all the H I. So we're going to work in the adjoint representation. So what does it mean exactly? This means that we want to find the E alpha that has the adjoint action of any HI is equal to alpha I, meaning that the E alpha are eigenvectors for this operator. So this can be also written that the commutator and so here, when I use this notation, this vector, this means that here where any alpha I is a real number, and this is what we call the root. These are the roots of the Lie algebra. Okay, so roots, here you have the rank, all this kind of vocabulary you can. Okay, and so if we recall what we have for the case of SU2, so the equivalent of the HI for SU2 is just the J3 here, okay? And you see that the commutator of J3 with J plus minus give you plus minus J plus minus. So you see that the root for SU2 are just so 1 and minus 1. Okay, so SU2. And since we are going to work for rank 2 Lie algebra, we will find that the roots are going to be just vector on a 2D plane. Okay, so that's why, so in the case of one, two. So here I'm just describing the different step, and then we are going to go again through each of the step to find everything explicitly. So roots are going to be vectors. And in the tutorial, you will find explicitly what are the roots. So tutorial. Roots of SU3, which again is a rank 2 Lie algebra. And then step 3, we'll see with, I don't know, some miracle here that using some geometry, we are going to find some just simple geometry of 2D Euclidean space. We are going to be able to draw all the rank 2 Lie algebra on a graph. Okay, so here step 3 is a bit difficult to describe. It's more or less. And this is going to be using geometry, but this is specific here to R is equal to 2. OK, so let's now go step by step. So we consider that we, of course, the first step will be if you have an explicit Lie algebra, is then to find explicitly what are these Hi here. Okay, but here we are not going to go explicitly in a given Lie algebra. We want just to consider a rank 2 Lie algebra. So we know that we will have 2 H. Okay. So now let's see what were the steps for SU2 and then try to generalize this now. So I recall that for SU2. We add that J plus was the adjoint conjugate of J minus. And indeed here, you can show that the equivalent now of J plus and J minus are this operator E. Okay. So E alpha dagger now is going to be related, do you have an idea, to this for any? So here you go from plus to minus, and here it's going to be the same. And how can you see that? This is just because indeed you have that. So how do you define this value here? It's because it's given by, it's the eigenvalue when of the operator hi on this eigenvector, okay, associated to this eigenvector. So if you look at the commutator of hi with this dagger here operator, you can, using the fact that these are Hermitian, okay, what you get is that this is also equal. And we know what is this commutator. It's minus, because it's alpha. And again, here the roots are real. So we just get that it's. So this exactly means that E dagger alpha as for eigenvalue minus alpha for hi, okay? Okay, so this was just, yeah, this is the first result. Now, what do we have also for in SU2? So remember that we started with an eigenstate aim for G3, where we add and then we show that J plus or minus on M was proportional to M plus or minus 1, meaning we showed here that J plus minus were raising and lowering operator. So can we show something? Can we find the analog here of this raising and lowering operator? And we're going to do exactly the same calculation we did in the case of SU2. Because here, what we are going to do is redraw an analogy between J plus J minus and E alpha E minus alpha. Okay? So we want to investigate what E alpha on a given vector, let's call it mu, where mu here is some eigenstate of all hi, okay, with eigenvalue. All with eigenvalue. Mu I. Okay, so like here we started with eigenvector for G3. Here, since all these hi are commuting, okay, we can find a common basis of eigenstate for all these hi. And so, what does it mean here? This means that hi acting on mu is. Okay, and so now we can do exactly the same calculation we did in the case of SU2, where here now I'm going to apply hi to this vector to see if I can say something about it. Okay? And like we did for SU2, here I'm just going to use the commutator. So here I can introduce the commutator. Plus acting on this vector mu. And so now we know that this by definition is equal to alpha E. And here we just get that the action of this is going to act on mu. And then the action of H on mu is, by definition, mu I. So here you get, here it's not a vector. It's just the component alpha I. And here we get plus mu I OK, so this is what we wanted. This means that here what we get is alpha I plus mu I times this vector. Okay, so this means that this vector we started with is an eigenstate for any of the hi, and the eigenvalue is given here. So by definition, this is proportional to this vector mu plus alpha. So you see that here, indeed, the pair of E alpha and E minus alpha is going to be our raising. So this is the raising operator. Okay, great. So now we have the equivalent of J plus J minus. So now let's try to find really the J3, because here we have the HI, but do something a bit more. In which sense do I have something analogous to J3? So I recall, so from SU2 again, we add that J plus J minus is equal to J3. So now let's investigate here what we get for this kind of commutation relation. Okay, since we have seen that the J plus J minus now are replaced by this new operator. So first we know that the raising operator E alpha is going to bring a state minus alpha to the state alpha plus minus alpha is going to give you the zero state. And also what we can show now is that this has eigenvalue zero for all HI. So let's write this explicitly. So let's look at this commutator can be seen also at the adjunct action of E alpha on this state. And so now let's see what is the action of on this okay, so here I'm looking at the adjunct action of HI on this state, and here using the Jacobi identity this is also equal to so E alpha with H I E minus alpha, so I'll let you try to do yourself, and minus and so can you see why this is equal to zero? So this is equal to
minus alpha
alpha I. And here what do you get? Okay, so let's check that I haven't done any mistake with the sign. So here we get E alpha, E minus alpha with a minus, and here minus, but we're but the opposite way. So this is correct, no? So if you want me to write, it's okay. I don't need to write the last step. Or everyone is okay with that? So just we get exactly the same commutator, except that it's the other way around. And here we get the same value here with a minus and here minus. So what does this calculation mean? Okay. Since we know that here the H are a basis for this Cartan subalgebra, and what is the Cartan subalgebra is the maximal set of commuting generator. Okay, so here you see that this is commuting with all HI. Okay, so what does it mean? This means that this, so in particular, this means that we can try to write like a linear combination of the basis element, which are this Hi here. Okay, everyone is following? Yes, no? Is there a no or? No, that's fine. Okay. Yeah, let me know if you're lost or not, because we are not really at the end yet, okay? So I still need to have you, if you want to understand more or less the confusion, I need to have you now. Still with me. Okay. So now we want to, what is the next step? Is to determine what are these A, is this coefficient, okay? Which are, and then we will have, because what is, for the moment, our goal is to try to more or less get an algebra of this form. We see that we will have additional coefficient, but then we can rescale everything. And so once we have done that, this means that inside our Lie algebra, we will have a SU2 subalgebra. And going from that, we can construct any of the Lie algebra. Okay, so here we already have, so this is by definition, we already have this commutation relation, which is like this J3, J plus minus. But now we are looking at the J plus J minus, okay, which is this E alpha, E minus alpha. And so you see that now we need to find what is this, what are these coefficients. Okay, and so for this, I need to introduce another ingredient, which is another definition, but that you will, if you're working with Lie group or Lie algebra, we will see quite often is the notion of killing form. So this is a new object that we didn't have to use. Okay, so what is the killing form of a Lie algebra? So it's a symmetric bilinear form defined as is going to be given by so the trace. So let me explain what this means here. So this is for any x, y in your Lie algebra. Okay. So what do I mean here by how can you understand this? You can see this means that here I'm represented. So x and y are just element of my Lie algebra. And then here, I'm just saying that I can represent them using the adjoint representation. So then I will get some matrices. So here you can, if you want, it's a way to a simple way to see that, just as the trace on matrices, where here it's the adjoint representation of these two elements. And in fact, what we are using here when I'm using already that, in fact, here I'm already representing my Lie algebra element under the adjoint action. Okay, when I'm saying that the commutator like this is zero, this means that I'm using the adjoint representation. So, what does it mean? And just another important property of that, and then I'm going to give you what are the explicit relations for our generator here. So it's also that is defined as that, and it is non-degenerate. And this is in the case of a semi-simple Lie algebra. Okay, so it's in the case we are looking at, but just to let you know that in some cases, this doesn't have to be true. And then we said that B is an invariant form in the sense that you have that B, the X with Y, Z is also B of XY is dead. Okay, so this is just to give you exactly the definition of this killing form and this important property. But the killing form is then going to give you, in fact, it's kind of like a bit of scalar product is going to give you some duality relation. And so in particular, here, what do we have in our case? We have that, so this is going to give you between the generator. So in our case, we have that the trace then we have that if we look at E alpha E beta, so this is a delta of alpha plus beta. And then you have that the trace with between E and H. And so using this duality relation here, so using the killing form we have for the Lie algebra, we can so extract what is the A here, okay? Because indeed now, so I'm just going to use which relation? I'm going to use this relation and multiply everything by Hj, for example, and then take the trace, and this is going to give me access to the coefficient. So let's do that. So this means that I'm considering trace of so just this side of the equation. So this by definition gives you a delta ij. So this is a I. And then going to the other side of this equation, so I'm using this equation here, you get that this is a trace also of alpha, so the commutator with okay, so now let's just expand what this is and then try to see if we have some non-zero term. So this is just the trace of minus. So I'm just expanding the commutator. Then you can use, so the trace is linear, so I have trace of this minus the trace of this, and then each trace here you can again commute, but we already did this kind of calculation. So here I can just, in fact, commute term in order to get that this is trace of E alpha times the commutator of Okay, so this is what I want. So what did I do here? I have this first term, so this one is correct, and then this one, I just did this permutation here. Okay? And then again this one. But okay, so now this, we know what is this commutator, and it's going to give you E minus alpha, so this gives you alpha I. So this is a number, so you can go out of the trace, and then you end up with the trace of E alpha minus alpha. And so this is exactly 1, so we get alpha I. Okay, so what here can we conclude here is that the commutation relation between P alpha here is, so the scalar product of A, where H here, when I call H, is really this, all the operator. And in our case, we're focusing on R is equal to D. So here, indeed, this alpha is a 2D vector. Okay. So if we add, so this is our relation, commutation relation. I can remind you, so we also add that this one are all 0, and we add that hi is equal to so now we have something quite similar to the commutation relation we had for SU2, okay? In fact, to get to exactly the same, we just need to do some rescaling of our generator and define to get exactly SU2. So this is what we're going to do now, just rescale our generator. So any questions here? And no. In fact, I want to keep this one. Okay, I'm going to keep the first blackboard just because I want to keep SU2 to know what we are looking for. Okay, so let's try to rescale. So I'm going to define really E plus as the coefficient A time. We have seen that this is anyway the analog of the raising operator, then I'm going to rescale the same way the lowering operator. And I'm going to call E3 this rescaled operator, which is alpha dot h here. And then we demand that they form a SU2 algebra. So this means that we want to have E plus E minus is equal to E3 and E3 with E plus minus so you just have to look a bit carefully, but it's not very hard to get that we need to define B like the in 1 over the norm of alpha. And A is just, so alpha is the norm squared. So this means that we have, let's write them explicitly, and then we're going to use that to find some condition, restriction on what are the allowed routes, okay? So E3 then is, where is E3? So it's with B. The norm of, and then E plus minus are going to be given by, yeah, you just rewrite. Plus or minus alpha. Okay, so here we are at, so step two was really to define the eigenvector. Okay, so here we have our eigenvector, and for a given root, the E, the associated E alpha is unique. Okay, so I'm not going to show it here. But so now, what? How can we classify our Lie algebra? Okay. Meaning, can we draw all the allowed? So here we're going now to focus on rank two. So this means that indeed this is a two-dimensional vector. Okay. To try to get all the rank two Lie algebra, semi-simple Lie algebra. Okay, so how do we do that? So I don't think I need this. So now we're really going to use some. No, it's a bit like for SU2, at some point, we add to, so once we have this, we add this vector JM, okay, we had to see if we had some condition on the J and on the M parameter, okay, if they could take any values or not. And here it's a bit this consideration that we're going to get. And this is going really to constrain the number of Lie algebra we can have when it's rank two. So here it's going to be step three. And we're really going to do, to see what does simple geometry. So I guess that right now you have no clue why we're going to talk about geometry, but hopefully. Well, you can already get that, indeed. We are dealing with 2D vector. So at some point, yeah, with vector in a 2D plane, you can consider some geometry. OK, so let's assume here that we can find another pair of roots. And see if we get any restriction of this on this other pair. Okay. So that also satisfies, of course. That the eigenvector of the HI. And so now we can ask, what is E3 where here I remind you that, so here, yeah, okay. So this means that now these generators are really generated SU2 subalgebra, okay? So we started with Lie algebra G. Here we didn't even specify what was, for the moment, the rank of the Lie algebra, and we found that inside we can find characterize a subalgebra SU2. And so now here, this E3 is really this E3 defined in terms of this alpha, the root alpha we started with. Okay, so here it's, I remind you that this is defined in terms of this alpha. So let's just try to compute this bracket here and see what we get. So this, by definition, is just divided by the norm. But so since this H, this E beta are also the eigenvector for H, okay, we get here since E3 is really plays the role of J3, okay, of our generator in SU2, this means that this here eigenvalue can only be have half integer value. Okay, so this means that here, from here, we can deduce that first we want this to be so now let's see what our raising and lowering operator are going to tell us. Okay, we'll do to this new eigenstate of H. So this was the first point. So now let's see what the raising operator E plus will do to okay, so this means we want again to compute where, like we did before. I don't know if it's still here. Yeah, we did here. In fact, we want to compute the adjoint action of E3. It's exactly the same thing we did for SU2, and we did it again here on the adjoint action of E plus. So in terms of commutator, this means we look at this commutator, E plus. And here again, using Jacobian identity, so it's exactly what we did, maybe not here. But so for SU2 to see that, we wanted to see that J plus M was proportional to M plus 1. Okay, so to this vector, we applied J3 to see that indeed this was an eigenvector of J3 with eigenvalue M plus 1. Okay, so here we want to see that this vector is an eigenvector of A3, and see if we can say something about the eigenvalue, meaning that here, indeed, we are expecting that this is our raising operator, so we get something beta, I guess, here. This depends on alpha, so we're going to get beta plus alpha, meaning that this has to be proportional to E beta plus alpha, okay? So here, just let's do first the calculation, but it's really the same calculation that we did here to show that J plus M was indeed M plus 1, okay? So now using Jacobi identity, I can rewrite everything with E plus, and I want to keep E3. E3, E plus, so I rearrange things to that I don't have any Okay, so what can we conclude here? I want to keep this e plus e bit. What did I do here? So this gives me, so now I can use this commutator here. So I get this coefficient. Okay, just expanding, writing explicitly the value of this commutator. And then I'm still have the commutator of e plus e beta. So it's what I was looking for. And then here, what do I get? I know that E3 E beta by definition is the commutator is equal to 1. So this is plus. So it's plus 1 E plus. Okay, so this gives me E plus. Okay, so hopefully we are almost there. If no one is lost, I'm almost lost, but not yet. So this is give you that this is indeed beta divided by plus 1. And then you ended up with E plus. Okay, so let's see how we can interpret that. So this means that under the adjunct action of E3, this is indeed an eigenvector for this action. Okay. And the eigenvalue is given by this. And so this means that indeed this has to be, we have seen that E3 with a given E beta give you this eigenvalue. So here, this means that indeed we need to, this can be. So let me just rewrite this term. So this is also alpha dot beta plus alpha. So this now is interesting because it tells us what this raising operator is and lowering operator are doing. Okay? So here, this means that the raising operator is taken a state beta. And when you apply this E plus, you go to and of course, you can go the other way around. And if you were now acting with the lowering operator, you could find this relation. So we see that here we have what we call a chain of roots. And so this is what we call an alpha chain of roots going through beta. And we know that the associated E beta prime, with beta prime being part of this alpha chain through beta, constitute a basis for SU2 with the generator E3 and E plus minus. Okay? So here. And again, we are going to, like for the case of, since we focus on finite representation, we have a highest weight, okay? So finite representation. We also have and so suppose that starting from beta to go to this highest weight, you need P steps of using E plus, then this means that you have a relation like this. Plus P has to be equal to J. And if we need, starting again from beta, but using now the lowering operator to go to the lowest state, the lowest weight, we need Q steps. So this means then now that we have minus Q has to be equal to minus J. And so this is going to give you, so here we can get rid of the J. And so what do we get? We get that 2 P minus Q is equal to 0. So what does it tell you? So of course, this tells you that we know that this is an integer because it's a number of steps. Q is also an integer, so this has to be an integer, but we already knew that. So what is, let's say, amazing about that now is that we can, in fact, do the same calculation switching the role of alpha and beta here. Okay? And if we switch this, what we would get a similar formula. Is, so now I switch the role of alpha and beta, okay? I could have chosen beta as my P. And so now combining these two, what I get is that, and you will see why I'm doing all of this, the scalar product of these two vectors is equal to, so P minus Q times okay, so I just multiply the two relation. And so why is this really amazing now? Can you tell me what is that geometrically? Do you see what it is? Sorry? Yeah, so if alpha and beta are two, so now we are really in the case r is equal to 2. So these are 2D vectors, OK? And so this is exactly the formula of cosine squared times 4, OK? So here you get that where here it's really this angle is really what we call, yeah, we have two vectors, 2D vector, alpha, beta. So this is the theta, is equal to so how do we get, why do we get some restriction. So we know that the cosine square function is going to be bounded by 0 and 1. So with this new table, knowing that this has to be also integer, in fact, you can only have few value for and so this means that, in fact, this is to say that the angle between any pair of roots of a Lie algebra can be only be chosen between the list I'm going to give you, and you're going to see that this list is quite small. So this means that indeed we can really say starting from a given root, we have access to all the Lie algebra. So let's see what is this table. So now we said that this is bounded from 0, but then to 1, and here it's multiplied by 4. So if I divide everything by 4, I guess I get this number. And this corresponds to an angle of pi over 2. Then here you get pi over 3 and 2 pi over 3. Here you get one half. So it's pi over 4 or 3 pi over 4. And then here you get pi over 6. And here, of course, 0 or pi. OK, so you see that you have, now what does it mean? That means that any, the angle between any pair of roots has to be taken, can be only chosen from this table here, okay? Has to be one of this value. And this turns out to be a strong enough constraint to be able to sort all possible Lie algebra. So this means that now, in the case of r is equal to 2, we are ready to just classify the rank 2 Lie algebra just by drawing the roots, okay? And so this is what we're going to do in a second, but before I just wanted to come back on what we have there. So here, really what we have, so this means that this set of roots, so let me maybe write it here. No, not here. So as told you, this is to come back to what I wrote here. So we have here starting from beta, we said that we can take q steps to go to the lowest weight, okay, which was minus j, but here we don't need to specify this value here. And we took p steps with using the lowering operator to go to the highest root. So we get this set of roots, and this is what we call the alpha chain of roots through beta. And here the result is that the alpha beta, with beta prime being a parameter of this alpha chain through beta, constitute a SU2 Lie algebra with the basis given is the generator given by E3 and E plus minus here. Okay, so you really see that indeed we can have a SU2 subalgebra. Okay, so let's go back to this now and see. So I'm just going to give you, to show you some of the drawing, and then you're going to work on that during the tutorial to hopefully make things a bit more clear. So during the tutorial, you're going to start with SU 3, which is a rank 2. And you're going to determine what are which bases you can choose, what are the HI you can choose, okay? And then try to find the E alpha, okay? And find all the roots of this Lie algebra and see that indeed the roots can take are related to this value here, okay? So here, so if we start by just focusing on, if we draw something, so here at the middle we have the H1 and H2. So now just let's look at the angle pi over 2. Here this means that if we have an alpha, then beta is going to be here. And of course we have then the minus alpha and the minus beta. And it turns out that this is going to describe Lie algebra for SO4, which can be really seen, and this can be shown easily, knowing that indeed for each root you have a SU2 Lie algebra. In fact, here you have two orthogonal SU2 Lie algebra. So indeed here what you have is a direct sum of two SU2 Lie algebra, which is represented by this two roots being orthogonal here. And so just to specify, this is really a generic result, meaning that any semi-simple Lie algebra can be decomposed as a direct sum of simple Lie algebra. And we know that here, SU2 are simple Lie algebra. Okay? Then if we look, so here it's when you look at the angle pi is equal to 2, you have this kind of drawing for the roots. Now if we look at just the other case, pi to 3, you end up with now this kind of drawing where you have, so the alpha beta, and here in fact all the other roots can be written in terms of this alpha and beta. And in fact this drawing is the one you should get when you're going to study SU3, because this is and this gives you SO3. Then if you look at the angle pi over 4, you will get in fact SO5, also known as B2, and then you also have this angle, so pi over 6, and then you will get a bit weird groups, which is called G2. Okay, so from here, so let's try to, from here, this angle, you just get SO4. Here, it will give you SO3. Here, it gives you SO5, which is also sometimes written, I think, B2. Yeah, and this one is a bit weird, and it's G2. So these are all the rank 2 Lie algebra that you can get. Okay? And so you're going to work a bit with this drawing and also the Jung tableau that we introduced yesterday during the tutorial. So hopefully you're going to become a bit more familiar with that. And you're going to go through again these different steps, because you're going to look at a specific Lie algebra and try to find define this generator here. Okay? And so just, so here we look at a rank 2 Lie algebra. Then if you continue to higher rank, you will also be able to find all the possible simple Lie algebra using this root method. But then you need to use some other diagram, which is called, so for higher, so maybe you already seen this Dinking diagram. And this Dinking diagram looks a bit like, do I have an example here, or do I even take one? But in the what is important is, so you can look at maybe the GRD references if you want to know more about that. And here, what we are going to represent is what we call only the simple roots. So what are the simple roots? So you see that here on this diagram and this diagram, I only have two simple roots, which are alpha and beta. Two positive simple roots. And in the Dinking diagram, if you take all simple roots, so also the negative one. So what are the simple roots? This means that there are the roots that you can, then all the other roots can be written as a linear combination of them. Okay? So you see that, and here the number of positive simple roots is equal, so you can guess here we have only two and we were working with rank two, so it's equal to R. So you see that as soon as you're going to increase the rank of the algebra, everything is going to become, of course, much more complicated, since you will have much more positive simple roots. And you know that the simple roots does not give you all the roots you have, then you can have linear combination of this root. Okay? So of course, things are going to be a bit more complicated. And yeah, so this is what I wanted to tell you about how to classify semi-simple Lie algebra. We are going to work on an explicit example this afternoon. So have a look, think about it, and of course, during the tutorial, we can, or you can, if you have questions now, you're welcome. But it seems that maybe it would